just thank you for this time that we have together to worship and learn more of you. Father, I ask that you open our hearts, you know, open our minds to hear what it is that you are saying to us today. Let your spirit permeate each and every home, permeate the heart of each and every person under the sound of my voice. And let us be transformed by you and transformed by your word today. Father, I decrease and pray and ask that you increase in me. God, it's not about me at all, but it's about your word and about your word being made flesh. It's about your word being made life in the ears of each and every person. And I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to like type up all my scriptures and put them in the chat box and stuff, but I didn't get a chance to do that. So I will, in some cases, actually read the scripture, and in some cases, just kind of speak the scripture. And what I'll maybe do after the service is over is, or when I post the message for this week, I'll put the scripture references in the description box. And then that way you can have that, as a reference. But, we've been talking about stewardship. And so, today is going to be the final series or final session related to, stewardship. And so I'll be discussing personal stewardship today. And, thanks, Portia. We'll be discussing personal stewardship today. So I'm going to start out with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. In the voice version that we all tend to use, that's on page 1398, if I'm not mistaken. But it's 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Now, pretty much the whole first couple of verses of 1 Corinthians 4, I'm going to allude to that, but I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing today. I'm just going to read kind of the key scripture. But one of my references will be like further down, like a couple of scriptures later. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, in the voice version, it says, "Because we are in this particular role, it is especially important that we are people of fidelity and integrity." Most other versions say a steward or a manager, a trustee, must be found faithful. And as I thought about this passage, I kept thinking about the words a steward. Just kept thinking a steward, a steward. And as those words echoed in my mind, I realized stewardship is an individual matter. It's about personal responsibility and accountability. Paul, in this passage, could have discussed all the stewards. He could have discussed a few stewards, but he said a steward must be found faithful, meaning loyal, steadfast, strictly devoted, and committed to continuing in the duty assigned to us, acting with integrity in all things, which I saw defined as the quality of having strong ethical or moral principles and following them at all times, no matter who's watching, acting with honesty, honor, and truthfulness. That's what integrity is. My mom used to always teach, integrity is what you do when nobody's watching. Like when you got that shopping cart, do you just take it and leave the shopping cart in the middle of the place, or do you just walk that extra step and put it back into the cart section? You know, integrity. And so that's what stewardship is all about. It's about integrity. Nobody's watching you to see what it is. Not a lot of people anyway, to see what you're doing and how you're doing things, but God is always watching. And so we must operate with integrity. We must operate with a level of responsibility, and remember that we are all going to be held accountable. Now, in the voice version, we see that it is referring to the entire category of people occupying the role of steward. But the application of these words are still on the individual level, meaning each person in the group must be devoted to and carry out his or her duties with integrity. You may ask, why is stewardship a matter of personal responsibility and accountability? And Paul answers that later in the passage. Because at the proper time, God will examine his faithfulness in his job as a steward and judge accordingly. And so it is and will be with all stewards. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, that's on page 1419. So 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, in time, we will all stand in judgment before the throne of the anointed, the liberating king, to receive what is just for our conduct, whether it be good or bad, while we lived in this temporal body or in this temporary body. Now, sometimes when we start talking about judgment and everything, people start to get scared and everything. And I don't say this to scare you in any way. I say it to make you aware that just like with the parable of the talents that Pastor and Minister David talked about over the last 2 weeks, one day the master will return and ask each of us one at a time to show the results of our stewardship. Only he's not going to just ask about money, because that's what we kind of get focused on all the time is money. He's not going to just ask about our money, but he'll remind us of Genesis 1 and 28. And we've listened to this passage every week from each one of our teachers discuss this, but that's on page 3 of the Voice Version. And it says in Genesis 1 and 28, and then God blessed them and gave them this directive: be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth. I make you trustees of my estate, so care for my creation and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that roams across the earth. He's going to ask each of us, how well did we cultivate or grow or improve the growth of his estate? Meaning the growth or improvement of all of his creation, the earth, the animals, the people, yourself. Contained in each of these categories are all the stewardship topics our lessons over the past 4 weeks have awakened us to. The environment, meaning all of the natural world, the atmosphere, the climate, soil, all other living creatures. We've talked about the economy to include our finances, but also all of the natural resources that we hear are starting to slip away. We've talked about social stewardship, or the stewardship of the community and the needs of other people, and the stewardship of our individual gifts, talents, skills, abilities, both spiritual and natural. These are the things that we've heard about over the last 4 weeks. And if you didn't hear those lessons, go and listen to all the recordings on the website. But based on Genesis 1:28, like it or not, as human beings, we were born stewards, each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you're Black, brown, Asian, white, educated or uneducated, rich or poor, healthy or unhealthy, young or old, single, married, or something in between, how worthy or unworthy we feel, we all have to steward or cultivate ourselves so that we can grow into more faithful stewards in these key areas, and more specifically in the areas of creation that have been entrusted to us. Sometimes we get overwhelmed thinking about all of the different types of stewardship and how can I do all these things? But the reality is that God's not calling you to everything. He's calling you to some specific things. So in the area that has been entrusted to you, you should be thinking about, am I being a faithful steward? Just look at your life, examine it, ask yourself, what has God given me and what am I doing with what he has given me? When the master returns, what will you say? Will you be like the servants that doubled what was given to them, or you be like the servant out of fear did nothing with what was given to him? The answer boils down to personal stewardship, your commitment to God, and your individual responsibility to bear fruit, to recognize that you have the breath of God inside of you. And with each breath, as you bear the image of God, as you stand on the sacrifice that Christ made to reconcile you to your original nature and embrace the help that the Holy Spirit provides, you can dream, you can create, you can build, you can nurture, you can transform. And together with all of us walking completely in our calling of faithful stewardship, we can manifest heaven in this earth. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 19, that's page 1174, but I'm going to, in the Voice Version, I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible. But Matthew 16 and 19, it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever doors you lock on earth shall be locked in heaven. Whatever doors you open on earth shall be open in heaven. As I studied this, it reminded me of Romans 8, 19 through 23, and the vision of all of creation holding its breath, awaiting freedom. And I realized that Matthew 16, 19, Romans 8, 19 through 23, and Genesis 1 and 28 are all connected. The creation is waiting for us to realize our full potential so we can unlock some doors and set some people, some things free through the faithful stewardship of all the resources entrusted with us. Ask yourself, what doors have I unlocked for someone through teaching the gospel of liberation? What doors have I unlocked for someone by living as God's image bearer and being an example of that freedom, the abundance, the love, the peace, the wisdom that Jesus' death unlocked for us? How have my words, my actions enslaved or cultivated and set free all of God's creation that has been entrusted to me? Jesus is our chief example of stewardship. He managed and cultivated his own life and spirit in a way that led him to sacrifice that carefully cultivated life for our sins, unlocking on earth the doors that were already unlocked in heaven. From a child, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. You can find that in Luke 2 and 52. He set priorities for himself, focusing from the beginning on his father's business. You can find that in Luke 2 and 49. He used all the resources at his disposal to bring freedom, so much so that according to John 21 and 25, there aren't enough books to contain, not enough words to explain all that he did. His entire story tells of how he faithfully cultivated himself, the environment, the economy, his gifts, and thereby the people and community he was placed in. His stewardship legacy was so powerful that to this day, it is still affecting us, and it will affect every person, all of humanity, for all of eternity. And when his time of accounting came, he told his father, "I didn't lose one of them, but I protected and preserved them." You can find that in John 6 and 39, John 17 and 12, John 18 and 9. So John 6 and 39, John 17 and 12, John 18 and 9. But Jesus said, "I didn't lose one of them." He strategically cultivated everything in his care. And guess what? You and I are the products of that masterful cultivation. In his death, he reminded us of who we are, and he passed on all the tools we needed to accomplish the work of a faithful steward. He gave us his spirit, who guides us in all truth. He gave us power and authority. He gave us a mind so we could gain knowledge, think critically, receive wisdom, and thereby make decisions. Most of all, he showed us the way through his life, letting us see according to 1 John 4 and 17 that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Just like Paul in Romans 12, he admonished brothers and sisters. I say to you today, brothers and sisters, I plead with you by the mercies of God that you would present yourselves a living sacrifice, that you would take up your call to be a faithful steward. Transform your mind and begin to do what you were born to do. Begin to cultivate, begin to create, begin to transform. With each breath that you breathe, make it count for something. Live intentionally, love freely, laugh heartily in the face of adversity, and show this world what being a follower of Christ is all about. Show them that it's a life of victory, freedom, peace, and power. Not power to coerce and rule over people, but power to hold fast and see transformation in the world through the power of God's love for us, our love for him, and our love for others and every part of his creation. The matter of personal stewardship comes down to a choice, your choice, a choice that ultimately roots itself in love. Do you love God? If so, will you take your place as a steward and do it wholeheartedly so that you will be found faithful in the eyes of God? Can you be found faithful to care for the environment by reducing waste and fighting for a cleaner and healthier earth in the areas that you're passionate about? Can you be found faithful to manage your money and investments well, giving to others who are in need, learning about the economy and things you may be able to do to make it healthier? I looked up examples of how to stimulate the economy because sometimes we think, oh, I'm just one individual person. I don't really know what this is all about. And some suggestions were to donate to charity and educational institutions. It says, you know, buy locally. And for those that are business minded, the suggestion was to start a business so you can employ people and provide services to the local community. Can you be found faithful to care for others, committing yourself to the natural and spiritual growth of the people that have been entrusted to you, not bossing people around? I can't say that enough. In all of creation, when God told him to, you know, be fruitful and multiply, at no point did he say rule over other people, to take dominion over other people. At no point did he say that. So we are meant to lead people, but we are meant to rule over creation, you know, because all of us as people were equals, especially in the eyes of God, but not bossing people around or manipulating people, but looking at people through the eyes of Christ and helping them however you can on their life journey. This type of cultivation requires prayer. It requires wisdom because you have to be mindful of balancing the people in your life. Make sure you have the right mix of mentors, mentees, and peers. Mentors are people that are over you, you know, that are, you know, maybe more advanced than you, and they can help to bring you up. Mentees are people that might be lower than you, not lower in a bad way, but maybe they may not know all that you know. We kind of think of young people and the people that are younger than us this way, but you bring them on as mentees so you can pour into them. But you also need to have peers, people that are at your level that you can talk to and share with that challenge you. But we need to have the right mix of people in our lives, because sometimes what we do is we have too many people. I don't know that you would call them mentees, but you would just have a lot of people that's dragging you down and pulling on you, taking more out of you than what's going inside of you. And that's not good. You know, you have to always be aware. I'm always mindful of that, you know, passage that talks about the woman with the issue of blood. And what it says is that Jesus, you know, when she touched him, you know, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And all his disciples were around, like, "What are you talking about? There are people all around you pressing in on you. Everybody's touching." He's like, "No, but somebody touched me and virtue flowed out of me." So every time you're interacting with people, you need to constantly be aware of the virtue of, you know, of your essence, your life, you know, whether or not that person is drawing from that or adding to that, you know, or if it's just an equal exchange, you're giving to somebody, they're giving back. But if you have too many people that are draining you and you're not doing enough to build yourself back up, then over time your life force is just going to die out. I fully believe that we come to our end of our life when our life force is all gone, when you just used it all up and you got nothing left, you know, for whatever reason, you know, not just because of people drawing on you, but just the cares of life and things like that. It just kind of eats away at you and you just don't have any more life inside of you. But you have to be balanced, because even Jesus, in all, he's the Son of God, and even he was aware of who was pulling from him. Additionally, as it relates to social stewardship, there are so many social issues and illnesses that need our attention. We can't address them all, but what social issues are you passionate about and feel God is calling you to address? It could be matters of poverty, public health, racism, social inequality, education, elder issues, abuse. The list of social problems in our world are so long. What has God called you to address? Can you be found faithful to use your gifts, your skills, your talents, your abilities to develop and advance your legacy in Christ? This could include volunteering, using your gifts to serve others in your family, your neighborhood, or on your job. Sometimes we think, oh, when you think about gifts and skills and talents, abilities, that kind of stuff, oh, well, I don't have anything, you know, I'm not highly educated. I don't have a good job. You know, it's all kinds of things that we say to ourselves to kind of, discount ourselves, to disqualify ourselves. And guess what? you're valuable no matter what. Every last one of us has a gift, has a talent, has an ability, whether it's natural or spiritual, we all have that. And therefore, we all have something that we can give to the larger community, to the world around us. And what we have to do is do that work to find out, what is it that I can give? How can I give back? And then you don't have to wait and ask permission from anybody. In your daily life, you should be just walking around. I think the Message Bible of a particular scripture, I love the way it says, it's like in your everyday walking around life. So in your everyday walking around life, you should be, you know, saying, hey, God, how can I touch this person that I've come in contact with? And, you know, in the age of COVID, maybe you're not around a lot of people, but there are all kinds of things that God will put on your heart, even in this moment. And the question is, are you reaching out? Like if you see a need, you know, you might say, oh, well, I don't have a bunch of money. Well, do you have $10? Can you sacrifice $10 to give it to somebody that might need help? I mean, you know, do you like baking food? Is it somebody that needs food and maybe you want to go take them a plate or something? Leave it at their doorstep, you know, knock on the door and run away and say, hey, I left you a plate of food. You know, it's just all you. Do you make clothes? Maybe somebody needs some clothes, or, you know, Goodwill needs all kinds of stuff. You can go and make something and donate it. I mean, literally, there are so many things that you can do, and it doesn't matter what your education is. You have to really look and say, hey, God, what are the dreams that you have put in my heart, and how can I begin, even in just a small way, to start moving toward that dream? That is what we have to do. So can you be found faithful to use your gifts and your talents to do something more for this world? Can you be found faithful to take time to build up yourself spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, so that you can efficiently do the work of a faithful steward? Are you taking time out for self-care? Are you getting proper rest? Are you doing the things that you're passionate about? Are you seeking out counseling and mental health support, exercising, eating well, fellowshipping with other believers, praying, studying the Christian faith, sharpening your mind through reading or talking with people from diverse backgrounds? Personal stewardship is about you growing yourself. You cannot sit around and wait for somebody else to grow. You can't wait for somebody else to help you out with things. You have got to look at yourself and look at your life and take responsibility and begin to cultivate yourself, cultivate your spirit, cultivate your soul, you know, look at your emotions. If your emotions are all out of whack, what can you do to get those things in line? Prayer is a big thing, you know, to sit and take time to just meditate on the word of Christ, studying, you know, those are like some beginning things, but that's not all you have available to you. I started counseling myself, back last year, end of last year. And I will tell you, like, having a third party counselor, you know, and of course you got to pray about it because you want to get the right person. But it is like one of the most amazing things to just have somebody else that listens and they're skilled at being able to help you work through whatever the thoughts are in your heart and in your mind and give you kind of a path to say, well, maybe you should think about this. They give you tools. And that's the thing. The word of God is a tool, but there are all kinds of other tools out there that you can tap into to help yourself go further in Christ. Sometimes we are so closed-minded as Christians, we don't want to accept any other thoughts but the thoughts that we have, thinking we just know everything or whatever. But it is time for us in the world that we live in, for us to have this responsibility, or see our responsibility, to go out and learn about other people, you know, to learn about other lifestyles and everything. Not so you can judge it and say, oh, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you need to come follow my way. No, not that. Is because you need to open your mind to all of the other things that are in the world. So that way you can begin to see life and see the world the way God saw it. I mean, he was looking at every person. He knew everything that we would experience, you know, because he was out there paying attention. He was interacting with people, even people who had different ideas from him. He didn't condemn them or anything. They talked, they had a dialogue. And then he was like, well, here's the principle. You either follow it or you don't. And that's what we have to be like. We can't be threatened by, you know, people who don't have the same kind of thoughts as us, people who, because everybody has a different life experience. And guess what? God is so amazing that he can use every single type of life experience, you know, in his kingdom. There is nobody that's like, oh, you had that happen in your life, you're out. Jesus isn't saying that. He's like, come on in. because he has a diverse body of people. And we have to begin to like challenge ourselves, especially in this day and time, you know, to begin to think more critically about what it is we believe. Think of critically about what other people are believing. What are really the claims of, you know, various faiths, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, what's really going on in the world? Begin to take some time and think about it. I think we always, you know, think about the scripture that says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, you know, all of those things. But that part that talks about love the Lord with your mind, we just kind of throw that out the window. But God wants us to worship him in our mind as well, with our mind. We are special creatures. We are the only creatures on the entire planet that can think critically the way we do and make decisions, like conscious decisions about things. We were made in the image of God. I keep thinking about that, the Imago Dei, the image of God. And so the same way that we can function and think, that is the same way that our God functions and thinks. He expects us to use that mind. And so it's just important for us to really begin to think about how do we steward ourselves. But, you know, if all of this seems too complicated, I'm just going to say, can you do one thing? Can you commit to cultivating and sharing the love of God that has been given to you with every person that you meet, with everything that you do? Can you do it with all your might in love and commit to pray and trust God to take care of the rest? I believe if you can do this, agree to be an incubator and faithful steward of love each and every day, no matter what the cost, then you will naturally achieve all that we have discussed over the last month. And in the end, when you are called to account, your testimony will be like that of Jesus. I've cultivated all that you've given to me and didn't waste anything or lose anyone. And then you'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this series and the reminder of our role as stewards. Give us wisdom and insight into how we can apply these teachings to our daily lives. So show us one way that we can become a more faithful steward and empower us by your Spirit to commit to doing all we can to cultivate the community around us for your glory. Manifest your kingdom in and through us in greater and greater ways as we not only hear, but do what you have placed in our hearts. Let prayer and love carve out the path before us. And like your son, let us have the testimony that we cultivated all that you entrusted to us and lost no one. In Jesus' name, amen.